We're going to look at Luke chapter number 1 tonight. If you have your phone Bible, you could turn that on. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to read, but hopefully I can read. I'm very thankful that we serve a risen Savior and that He was willing to come and become a baby and take on human flesh to redeem our souls. It's a great blessing that we should be reminded of, especially this time of year, but every day. One of the other remarkable things about the Christmas account in the Scripture, and I use the word account because it's not a story that somebody made up, it happened. And the Bible said that in Isaiah, that the sign would be a virgin would conceive and bear a son. So that's who we're going to be looking at tonight, is Mary, the mother, the earthly mother, the carrier of Jesus, and then the mother. She was His earthly mother, but she receives this message in Luke chapter number 1, and verse number 46, after she has visited Elizabeth, and Elizabeth blesses her and says, "The baby leaped in my womb as you came. I know that you're the one who's carrying the Savior of my Lord." So in verse 46, the Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and in his and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, you're probably familiar with the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I believe that Mary didn't know everything that Jesus would do. I don't think that she understood it. I don't think anybody understood exactly what Jesus would do. But there is something that this song that she sings proves. She knew the Scriptures. So my challenge tonight to you is, as we go through these, do you know the Scripture of the coming of Jesus Christ the Savior? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word. And Lord, we're grateful tonight that we could just sing a few songs. We pray that you were glorified and lifted up. With our hearts, we wanted to proclaim that you are our Savior, and we're thankful. And we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. I pray tonight that as we just look at this section of Scripture and what Mary did know, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and challenge us, especially those of us who call ourselves believers. Probably most every person here tonight would say they're a believer. I pray that if they're not, that they would hear these Scriptures and be convinced that Mary knew that Jesus, the baby that would be born very shortly after this time, I believe that she understood that he was the deliverance of Israel, that he was the one who would save his people from their sins. But Lord, I also know that she gathered that knowledge not from being perfect or being descendant of God, but truly being a woman of the Scripture. And so I pray tonight as we look at this, that we would be challenged, and folks here who've maybe never believed or heard that Jesus is the Savior and He died for them, that tonight they would decide to believe and receive. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. By the way, wonderful singing. Just great. Excellent. Just a blessing. So we know, according to the first part of this, around verse number 26, when Mary is approached, she responds like a normal woman, especially a lady, a woman of this era who was probably a teenager. Some believe around 13, 14, all the way to 16. Don't gasp, that's the way that it was. Marriages were arranged, it was going to happen. No doubt Joseph was older, he had already was making a living and was known. Mary was known because of her relationship with Zacharias. There's no doubt about that, that he was a priest, he was working in the temple. And so in Bethlehem, they were known, or in Nazareth and in that area, they were known. They were known who they were and where they came from. And it was where the house of David also dwelt. So the people that lived there in that area were members of the household or descendants of David. And that's the way that it worked in Israel. But when she got the news that she was going to be with child, she was like any other young lady who's a virgin would go, "What? You're..." And so her response tells us that she wasn't a descendant of God, that she wasn't super holy. There was nothing really different about her other than she was somebody that knew something about following God. She had a good heart. She was a person that believed God. She was a person that the angel Gabriel could speak to, and she would have the right response. Just listen, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be." How would that be if an angel showed up to you and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, I have a message for you from God"? It would be troubling. So she responded just like any normal person would. She was affrighted. She was a little concerned. But she was surrendered to listening to the message. Here's what the message was. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." So Mary hears this message. She doesn't argue. She doesn't say, "I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen." She received the message that God was going to do something with her. And here's what she said: "Okay, I'm willing." Now, that's a pretty quick answer to big trouble for being an espoused woman who is virgin, who, if she was found out with child, could publicly be stoned. Even if they caught the man in this day and age, they didn't care. It was just the fact that they wanted to do it. Now, if you think about the time that Mary lived, it's very significant that she immediately answered. And so, when I begin to study this and think about it, my question, because I don't believe anything's done without some reason in the Scripture, that's certain: why was she so willing so quickly? And as you read this and you read her words, there is only one answer. And it begins in verse number 46. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Psalm 34:2 says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Mary knew that this was not ever about her. It wasn't about what she would be to mankind. This is only about the Lord. And she knew it because she knew the scripture. The psalmist David is the one who wrote, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Remember when David, when God sent the message to David that he would be the king and that his kingdom would have no end, that a descendant of his in the future would sit upon the throne of Jerusalem and would be the king of all of Israel. And David didn't say, "Well, that's because I defeated the Philistines, and that's because I'm a big shot, and that's because I'm a good shot with a slingshot." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Well, it's, that makes sense because I'm holy, and I've only followed you, Lord." No, here's what he said. He sat down before the Lord and said, "Who am I that you would think of me? I'm nobody. I'm just a shepherd. And yet, you've spoken of me in the future and my kingdom not ending." Then he writes Psalm 34 and says, "So my soul's not going to boast about who I am. My soul is going to boast about who the Lord is." And Mary, you know, had to have read that because that's her statement. When she hears from Elizabeth that she is carrying the Lord and that this, and that she would be called blessed, and she immediately deflects to the Lord. Okay, that's not enough for you. I got you. Because we could be done if it was, but you're arguing with me. So here we go. Verse number 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, I won't go back and read it, but if you want to a little bit later tonight, hopefully you have a habit of reading the account in Luke 1 and 2 about Jesus being born, and you sing with the angels whenever the announcement is made. Hopefully you do. While you're at it, when you look in the scripture, go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verses 1 through 10. Because from this point on, Mary will be speaking exactly as Hannah sang whenever Samuel was born. Because they knew the scriptures. It's amazing when you know the scriptures how you can be assured of things that are not, you're not very confident in, or you can't exactly see. It's amazing how knowing the scriptures changes your attitude. And there is no doubt in my mind that because she knew the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel, that she knew that this too was possible. She knew the story of Sarah. She knew these things that had been passed down and that she had read in the scriptures, that she had been taught from a child. She also knew the Psalms. In verse number 48, and I'm going to go through these psalm by psalm. So verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." That lines up with Psalm 138, verse number 6. "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." She understood that this wasn't about her, but it was about the Lord's mercy and the Lord's person, who he is. In verse number 49, the Bible says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." That lines up with Psalm 71:19. "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee?" 126:2, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." She said, "The Lord's done great things for me." That's what God promised the children of Israel, that's what people would be saying about them. She knew the Psalms. Verse number 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." That coincides with Psalm 103:17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Verse number 51, He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. That lines up with Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord, Psalm 98, 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Psalm 33, 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Verse number 52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That lines up with Psalm 94, 2. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Psalm 53, or verse number 53, lines up with Psalm 34, 10. It says, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Psalm 34, 10. 10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse number 54, he hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Lines up with Psalm 98, 3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. In verse number 55, she said, and as he spake unto our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Lines up with Genesis 17, 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him forever, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. She knew the promises of God and believed them because she knew the scriptures. If you're doubting in your mind that Jesus truly did what he did, you just don't know the scriptures. If you're doubting that he's coming back, you just don't know the scriptures. If you doubt that he is the Savior of the world, you absolutely do not know the scriptures. If you struggle with being faithful to him, it's because you don't know the scriptures. If you struggle being faithful to church, it's because you don't know the scriptures. Well, I'm here on a Sunday night in the dark. Yes, you are. Why do we struggle with what we say is true? Why do we say that it's true and we would give our lives to it? That, oh, we have the boldness to say, if somebody came and put a gun to my head and said, if you don't deny Christ, I'll shoot you in the head, I would immediately stand up and say, well, then just do it. It's easy to say. The question to ask is, if that's true, then why don't we act? Why don't we serve? Why aren't we who we're supposed to be? And that's lights in the world. You can see how dark it is in here just with a few candles, and I can see your silhouettes, but I can't see your faces. Some of you could be sleeping. In fact, probably many of you are. I don't know. I'm not hearing snoring, so I'm safe. I know Twyla's still awake. So, but if it's just true, people. And so if this is the darkness in this room, what is the darkness of the world? And this darkness, Jesus came to dispel. And as I pointed out this morning, as we saw in the scriptures, we're the people who are supposed to be shining the light. We are. I love this time of year because it should challenge us to continue on what Jesus started and did and God's plan all throughout the Bible. Do you know why you wouldn't be involved in soul winning? Because you don't know the scriptures. No. You're not. I'm not mad about it, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm telling you, Mary jumped on the bandwagon when she knew it was certain death for one reason. She believed God because she knew the scriptures. If you were faced with a decision, a life-changing decision, that would cause you to possibly lose everything for the cause of Christ, everything, would you do it? It really depends on how well you know the Scriptures and what you believe about God. Is He big enough to take me through times that I'm very uncertain about? Well, we have several examples in the Bible, but tonight we can look at one virgin girl who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. When she was approached with God's plan, she asked her questions like any young lady would, and then said, "Be it unto me as you've said. I'm in." And I thank the Lord that she was in, because she was an integral part of the plan of God. But I want to make sure that you understand, we're not gathering here in the name of Mary tonight. And we're not praying to Mary tonight. Why? Because she admittedly said, "It's not about me. It is about the Lord, so He's the one I'll magnify." Be very aware. This time when we celebrate all of the things that we celebrate, don't get caught up in Mary. Get caught up in what she knew about God. And that's what made Mary significant to God's plan. She was ready. Again, I ask you, if God faced you with something life-changing and it would change your life, your income, everything about you, and He said, "I want you to do this," would you be all in? Or would you do like I did and others have done and still do sometimes? Would you argue? Why? I can tell you why we would do it. Because we're not convinced by the Scriptures. She knew God not just because the angel Gabriel came down and spoke to her. She knew God because she knew the Scriptures. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful for the account of Mary and that You went into such careful detail to show us these things about her and what she knew that convinced her to yield herself to Your plan. Lord, we would like to argue and we would like to make reasons and excuses and even explanations of what we think. But when we look at the Scripture, we see very plainly why she believed and why she went along with the plan very quickly, because she trusted You and believed You and believed that Your promises are true, because she knew the Word. And she certainly understood by knowing the Scriptures how You had been in the past, how You had kept Your Word in the past, and that You would continue to do so. Lord, we thank You for the folks that are here tonight, and I pray for each one of them. If there's a doubt whether or not if they died right now they'd go to heaven, I pray that they would seek out myself or someone who brought them and ask them about the Savior that came this night that we celebrate. And then God, I pray for those of us who are saved that this time of year would just challenge and push us and press us to be more immersed in the Scriptures, so that we would act upon truth, not be driven by our flesh or our emotions, but we would act and be driven on truth, and we would be witnesses and lights to this very dark world. Lord, we love You and praise You and thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. I pray again tonight that you'd bless every family that's here, every person. Give them a day of great remembrance, a great time with family, but most of all, in celebration of who you are. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.